Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Between Realities. This is a virtual reality podcast where we take a deeper dive at some of the thought-provoking aspects surrounding the technology. Today is February 29th, 2020, and it is a leap year, which is super crazy. My name is Alex, and I am joined here by my co-host, Skiva. How is it going, brother?
It is going great, man. How are you? It's good to see you.
Pretty good. It's good to see you as well.
Awesome.
Last week I was busy. This week I've been busy. So this podcast has really been like our opportunity to come together lately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been great. I really look forward to this time to just hang out and just chat about the stuff we love, man. And it really makes me happy. And we've been doing a lot of work too behind the scenes to make this show better. So hopefully it starts to show.
Yes, and it does. I'll speak for everyone else, because Harry's doing a lot of work, and I'm super, super proud of how it's all been coming together. The set's awesome. We've been getting compliments on that, so thank you guys for that and the kind words. Thank you for joining us here on this episode today. Full disclosure, this is pre-recorded. We have a guest on our show today who we'll introduce here in a little bit, and you know, we wanted to make the schedules work, so we ended up having to record this one, but we'll be there live with you guys in the chat while this is
premiering. Yeah, and we might need to do that from time to time, right? We got some really cool guests coming on in the next couple weeks, and like next week, for example, we have confirmed Eric for president.
Eric for president.
Yes.
Awesome dude. Makes amazing VR YouTube content. He's a great speaker. Like, that dude speaks into the camera and like doesn't cut for like 30
he's
minutes,
a natural.
You know?
He's
like,
definitely
the guy
natural.
Crushes it. So I'm really excited to get him on the show and kind of take a deeper dive with him, and you know, maybe get some more like anecdotal style footage with Eric.
Yep, for sure. And our you know, so it's like we were saying, there's going to be a little bit of recording just because of it's hard to schedule people into, you know, especially when people are in different countries, like the guests we have in the week after that.
Yeah,
so
lots of different time zones.
Yeah, lots of different time zones to consider. So anyway, I thought today we'd get into just a quick pieces of news before we got over to our guest.
Cool.
We'll talk about who our guest is right after this. So the very first thing that we have going on is that Facebook bought Senzaru Games. And that's pretty big. And for anyone that doesn't know who Senzaru Games is, they made some VR games, like originally like Rip Coil, VR Sports Challenge, Marvel Powers United VR, and the big one, Asgard's Wrath, which to me is probably, it's really, I think it might be the best VR game right now for the PC.
Yeah.
I really do. I mean, it's absolutely phenomenal. It's got like a 40 plus hour storyline.
And visually, nothing compares, right?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think there's anything that compares.
Phenomenal. It is so beautiful. And, you know, and it also takes a lot of, you know, I thought it took kind of a lot of stamina, if you will, to play that game, right? Because every person you see, you're like, all right, you're ready. You're going to fight this dude. It's on. So great studio with some great games, right? And it's like, I'm curious what Facebook is going to have these guys do, right? Are they going to be like, all right, you made a killer PC VR game. Now let's put you on the Quest, because you know that's their focus, right? And to have a game like that on the Quest would be...
You know, it's really funny. I was listening... On my way here today, I was listening to Rendered Realities podcast from today. They are in Boston, and they did a live show.
Yeah, they're at PAX East.
And I was listening to them, and those guys were talking about this, naturally. They were divided on their perspectives of this.
Yeah.
So, basically... The two perspectives are that, you know, hey, this is great because the Quest is the gateway. It's, you know, the number one way that people are getting involved in VR right now. And is it a bad thing to have AAA games on the Quest? Absolutely not. You know, like, that would be amazing to get these incredible studios to make stuff to get people in on the standalone headset that works really well. But then the other perspective is that, you know, why do they have to buy the whole company? You know, like, couldn't they have just funded it like they normally have, you know, throw money at them to make some certain things happen, you know, and continue to make the content happen that way. But instead they decided to go and buy the whole company, and then you start to worry about their intentions. And it's like, are you going to take away from the top end and high quality of PC VR content that's being released by like taking some of like those AAA players out of that and putting them straight into mobile games, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the key here is exclusives. Right, I think Oculus wants exclusives. They're coming at this like the Quest is a console, mm-hmm. right? And they're monitoring the content that goes on it very quickly or very seriously, and they are looking to have a lot of exclusive content that you can't get on other platforms like the PlayStation VR, just like PlayStation has, right? I mean, we can't play Blood and Truth and stuff like that on the PC. So, you know, there's a lot to say about exclusives, and that's kind of a hot button topic with a lot of people. Some people hate exclusives. Some people understand that they might be necessary for some products to come up and evolve. So,
well, and then like it's interesting because in this space, like we're used to a lot of content being cross-compatible, you know, or being available on multiple platforms, mm-hmm. but like people like Nintendo who have always been doing it, like no one bats an eye at Nintendo, you know, and I think like the big thing is that their hardware is like literally directly designed to work with their software, mm-hmm. like you can't, I mean, I guess you can find a way to play some of those like Switch games on a computer, but at the end of the day, like they're relying on the gyro sensors, they're relying on the stuff that, you know, the rumble features in Zelda, when you like walk over a secret, it starts to rumble and shit. So like there are a lot of features that are specific to the hardware that work with the software. So like that seems to make sense to me why you would want in, you know, or why, I mean, I'm not so worried about things being exclusive when it's like that. You know, like Half-Life Alyx with the Valve controllers, right? Like,
sure.
You know, the touch controllers can't do what the Valve controllers can do. Therefore, it only seems to make sense that you would play Half-Life Alyx on the Index, you know?
Sure. And not to say that the people playing on a Rift S or whatever won't have a phenomenal time.
Right.
It was just, you know, designed exclusively for that hardware in mind. And I think that's what we're going to get with Sinzaro Games. They're going to focus on Oculus hardware. So they'll be able to, you know, and like the Quest, right? Because when a company focuses on one piece of hardware that doesn't vary like PC hardware mm-hmm. does, they can really take things to a new level. And, you know, they're going to be designing for a Snapdragon 835, the same, you know, processor that's in like a Samsung Galaxy S8, right? Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting to see what a real AAA studio can do with a Snapdragon 835 processor. It should be very telling of what this headset can do.
Right, and typically it's like, it's really just a lack of resources that prevents anything from happening. You know, like when people are setting their mind to making something happen, like typically the only thing that can stop that is running out of resources to do it. It's like we ran out of time, we didn't have the manpower, we had to scrap one idea and start a new one and we couldn't afford to do that, like all that kind of stuff. And if it's Facebook, like they can afford to do whatever the fuck they need to do to make that shit as good as possible.
Yeah.
So, you know, I personally am okay with it, but I mean, I'm not a businessman and I'm just a consumer. Really.
This is the beginning of an industry, right? So there's going to be growing pains, and this is going to be a pain, a growing pain for some people that don't want anything to do with Facebook. And you know, it is what it is, man. It's good and it's bad in different ways for different reasons. But I think in my perspective, the good outweighs the bad in this situation because those guys are going to be, you know, pushed to make some great hardware or great games for some great hardware. So I'm looking forward to see what ends up coming up, you know, and that kind of leads us into our next thing when we're talking about the Quest, right? Is the Quest killer, right? So Qualcomm came out with a reference design, and they came out with this reference design a little while back, but it's back in the news again, where they have an XR2 chip that supports up to 7 cameras and full AR pass-through. So imagine the Quest that can turn your existing house into, you know, a castle or a cave, or, you know, and it can work with your existing...
Well, and explain real quick what a reference design actually is.
So a reference design is something where a company says, okay, we got this product, let us show you how we think you can use it, right? And they put together a design on, you know, an example of how things can be done, right? So 7 cameras gives them quite a bit to play with, right? You got 2 that would probably be taken up by eye tracking. You got at least, you know, 2 or 4 that could be used for room tracking, you know, probably 2. Another 2 that's for pass-through, for high-end AR pass-through, right? And what I found super interesting about this as well is that they don't seem to be tracking the controllers in the room with the cameras. They're using some kind of new tracking system. Mm. So we'll see how that ends up working out, right? But the point is, this is exciting because it's the next generation of things to come down the road, right? So when you look at something like the Quest and what it's going to be like for Generation 2, mm-hmm. you know, so...
You know, I love all of these, like, glasses-style VR headsets that mm-hmm. we're starting to see designs for and starting mm-hmm. to see prototypes for, like, mm-hmm. at CES. You know, like, one of the things that I wonder about, worry about, is, like, how well they will, like, stay attached, you know? Because some of the stuff that I've seen is, like, it's literally like glasses, you know? And it's very, very lightweight, and it didn't really have, like, a click down or anything, like kind of like the PlayStation thing. It like attaches to your head, you know, and like the lighter these things get and the easier they get to get it to get in and out of them, I think the more active people will be, you know. Like if it's super lightweight and I'm wireless, like I'll be fucking rolling on the floor, like mm-hmm. ripping all over the place, whipping my head around, you know, and like I can see those things moving around a lot, you know. Yeah. So yeah. I'm sure they're yeah. taking this into consideration, but that is one thing that comes mm-hmm. to mind for me. It's like lighter, easier to put on, all mm-hmm. that stuff, but like will it stay attached? Because right now VR is like helmets, you yeah. know. It's like
so the initial reference design is big and bulky, but their concept of what it could be mm-hmm. which is kind of, you know, what you can see right over here is a future design that's a lot smaller, a lot more accessible. So we'll see where this goes, right? Because this first reference design that they have on the white part of the screen is still big and bulky, right? But it's these guys aren't designers of headsets, they're chip makers, right? They wanted to put this out and go, here's what we can do. Now you guys take this technology and run with it mm-hmm. and let's see what you can come up with.
Nice.
So, you know, this is exciting when we're talking about things like Quest and Quest 2.
So with a reference design like this out, like what's a timeline before you start to see headsets?
So I believe there is a company called Lynx that is already building a headset with the XR2 design. And that's going to be $1,500 for this particular headset, but it's full legit augmented reality pass-through, which, you know, it can change the environment that you're in real time, which is really wild stuff. Yeah. Right, so at $1,500, obviously it's hitting enterprise first.
Right,
you know, just like everything does, and then it trickles down to the consumer market. So it's going to be interesting to see where this goes, because Quest is so exciting with such a crappy processor that I'm really excited to see what happens when they get some real legit good stuff on the back end.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? So let's go from here into our guest.
Yeah, right? That sounds good. So we have joining us on the show today a gentleman by the name of Sasha LeBaron. He is the community manager for an online social application called Somnium Space, which is backed with blockchain assets. So the users of the world can freely exchange digital goods, and it's super, super cool stuff. We have a trailer for Somnium Space that we'll show real quick, and then we'll go ahead and bring Sasha in.
Yeah, so we'll go ahead and play this trailer full screen with the audio. And while that's going on, I'm going to bring Sasha in on the back end, so hopefully everything goes good with that.
Awesome.
But yeah, enjoy this. This kind of gives you a quick overview into the future metaverse. So here you go.
edit, just saying.
So we're back, and Sasha is currently unavailable, but we will bring him on as soon as he is back, right? So maybe we can kind of go into a little bit more of what we believe Somnium Space is. So it is, like we were saying, it's almost like a if you've seen the movie Ready Player One, you know the Oasis. And it's a place where everyone can go in and kind of be together in a totally different world, kind of like a Second Life or the original, the PlayStation 3 home, right? But with a big, big difference, where you can bring in actual currency with cryptocurrency that can come into the game that's native to Somnium Space. All of the assets that you can design and bring into this thing are all tied to blockchain, which means you actually have ownership of these things. You can bring them from one game to another. Apparently, I'm not sure exactly
how that's going to work. That's like
yeah, in the future.
Future projection kind of stuff, you know, but it's the idea that digital assets will retain their value when they're made. I mean, again, that's not something that I don't think that's currently happening, but that's like, you know, they're like building their software with that stuff in mind.
Sure.
Like hoping that once we get to a point where that becomes like a normal thing, then, you know, they'll be like kind of up and ready and prepared for being able to execute that kind of stuff.
It's really cool because I'm really, you know, I'm looking forward to a good experience like this, because the one, you know, some of the stuff we have right now isn't really up to par. Like things like Altspace VR. I mean, it's fun for what it is, but it's very different from what we're talking about right now, right? Where you can go in and you can buy a plot of digital land.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
You build your thing on it, build your property on it, invite your friends over, hang out, you know. So I'm pretty excited to see where this whole thing goes. I'm also really excited to see what Sasha thinks of Facebook Horizons coming on the scene, mm-hmm. right? Like, what is he...
Yep. Man, yeah. I feel like OC6 was so long ago. Like, I can't believe we haven't gotten an update yet about Facebook Horizons.
I know. It's crazy, right? Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts, real quick, before we hop over to Sasha, on will OC7 happen?
Dude, you know, honestly, like, so, you know, like I said, I've been really busy. You know, I'm planning a wedding this year, and I've been working a lot, you know, and because of, you know, my wedding happening this year, like, I, you know, didn't really see the opportunity for a lot of traveling to happen in 2020. You know, it's like, obviously, the priority has to kind of shift into that a little bit. And, you know, it was like my whole focus last year was going to a bunch of different events. So this year, I was like kind of bummed thinking out about how I was going to like miss out on all of these events that are going to happen.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, coronavirus hits. And like, I don't want to say coronavirus is a good thing at all. Totally not. But like, if there's a time where like I can't travel and go to events, like, I guess it's a good thing that like the events aren't actually happening, you know? So it's like I'm not really missing out on anything. Like, makes me feel a little bit better about not being able to attend so much. And you know, I hadn't really like, it didn't really like hurt me at all until, again, on Rendered Realities podcast, they were like, do you think OC7 will happen? Then it was like,
because they just canceled F8,
dude,
the big Facebook conference.
I know, and that was like a dagger to the heart, man, because OC6 is like, for me, that was the beginning. You know, like, I had started creating content before going there, but once I went to OC6 and I met everyone and I had the chance to interview people and stuff, that was, like, a huge turning point for me in my virtual reality endeavors, you know?
Sure.
For me, that's, like, that feels like already I'm, like, excited for, like, the homecoming of Oculus Connect, you know? So if that doesn't happen, like, I literally will be, like, actually upset about that, because I had so much fun at OC6, and I cannot wait to go back and do that again.
Yeah.
OC6 is actually where I met Sasha, and I did an interview with him on my channel about Somnium
Space. So I knew nothing about Somnium Space until I saw your interview with Sasha.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I didn't really either, because until all the way up, I mean, this whole time that I've been like Alex VR, I haven't had my own PC VR setup. So I've been doing you know, focusing on what I can do for the quest, playing a lot of PSVR stuff, and then of course participating in PCVR wherever I can, be it with you or with other friends or, you know, at events and things like that. But also someone who I met at OC6 is Emil from New Wave Room. And Emil is like a 360 camera, like VR viewing filmography specialist. The guy is awesome. And during the like the happy hour at OC6, I look over my shoulder and there's this guy, Emil, standing with this like freaking 15-foot stick, which is like flying all the way up to the ceiling, and he's like walking around just beaming this thing everywhere, and I'm just like, holy shit, man, like, look at this thing. And he and I got to talking, and you know, we hit it off and kind of became friends, but I didn't really speak with him again until when we went to CES. We're walking around the VR area and Emil spots me across the floor and he's like, yo. And I'm like, dude, what's up? So we cruise over and we get to talking again, and he's just been filling us in on all this awesome stuff that Nuevro is doing. He's rubbing elbows with all the right people and filming some big names for VR to be viewed in VR content. And we'll probably have to have him on the show at some point to talk about
some of this stuff. Yeah, he's definitely going to come on the show. We've talked to him. Also, check out his YouTube channel. You know, he's got, he just started this thing, and it has some of the coolest 360 video that I've seen that you can watch in a headset with some really big names, with some really big celebrities. Well, so you definitely want to check that out.
And the reason why I bring him up is because after we've been talking for a while, he's telling me about all this like philanthropy that he's been doing with VR. He like put up this event where there was like, you know, kids that were like terminally ill who they all got to play VR and stuff, and he had like bought all these systems for it, a bunch of Alienwares, and had Vive Pros set up for it, and said since that event, like, he's just had this equipment just like chilling, laying around, and actually offered to send me one of these Alienwares and a Vive Pro. So by this time next week, I will have my very own Alienware Aurora setup and a Vive Pro setup, so I will be able to like fully dive into all of the world of PC VR. And of course Somnium Space is one of the first stops that I plan on making, because I know Sasha, we've had multiple opportunities to chat, and you know, I've been excited to get into everything, because as I've mentioned many times before, multiplayer VR for me is like the huge deal, and it's severely lacking on the Quest, and it's severely lacking on PSVR. So I'm like beside myself, and I am so, so grateful for Emil's contribution to all that we've been doing here.
Yeah, I almost envy you, really, because you only get that experience of getting into PCVR for the first time, right? In this big monster wave of content that there is. I mean, there's so much stuff, you know, it's not all good, just like, you know, just like everything on the Steam store, it's not all good, right? But there is a lot of content, and there's a lot of good stuff, and a lot, you know, everything comes to PC before it comes to Quest. And so you're really going to get to see some really good stuff. Now, you know, unfortunately, the industry is going to really be focusing, I feel like, on standalone VR. But I mean, this is really good stuff. A lot of good multiplayer. Just a lot of good stuff to do. So it'll be.
Well, and another thing that they were talking about, I mean, man, I'm a huge rendered reality fan. But they were talking about is when it comes to the Facebook acquisition of these companies. You know, he's all about games being built for PC and then ported to VR, right? So we can still have all of that high-end, top-end shit. And his worry, right, is that these companies get hired by Facebook and they don't make the PC version. They just make it specifically for the Quest, right? So then we miss out on the opportunity to, like, get it both ways, you know?
I think that's going to happen, for sure. Yeah. Because all the money right now is in the Quest. Developers are talking about making, you know, ridiculously more money on the Quest than they are on the PC. So obviously everyone's going to try to go that direction. You know, the Facebook is so crazy with their curation process that it's very hard to get anything on the Quest too. So that it makes for a very interesting situation where these developers are putting a lot of time and effort into some of these projects, and, you know, spending so much money, and then all of a sudden they can't get onto the store. And it's like, well, we just spent $1 million to develop a game. And now what? What do we even do with it? You know what I mean? They put it on the Rift, and they hope that you know, it gets some traction. But you know, it's crazy. I'm not exactly sure what makes a game get through to the Quest store or not, and I don't think anybody does,
right?
Because Facebook won't really tell anybody, you know. But things like To the Top, which is personally one of my favorite, even in a time of day where Asgard's Wrath is a thing and Boneworks and this and that, I still go back to the Top because it's so good and it's so much fun.
Yeah.
And for that to get rejected off the Quest store blew my mind. It's like, what are you guys even doing?
I wouldn't be surprised if they like put a greenie in to like decide for them, you know. Like, they don't have like VR pros making the decision. They like take somebody who like barely knows VR. They're like, play this game, would you play it again? And they're like, what? No, that's probably, was weird. And
it's happening, yeah.
Because they want it to appeal to everyone, right? Yeah. Like, they want it to be accessible, they want it to be approachable. Yeah. They don't want you to pick up the game and be like, wait, what the fuck am I doing right now? Like, hold on, what weird is if it's not like super intuitive or super clean or like, you know, of the caliber that people are expecting to see, then they'll turn their nose up at it.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of the things, when I was speaking with Ricardo Lagunaro, he is the director of The Line, which is a immersive VR like movie thing. He works for Arvory Immersive Experiences, and The Line won a bunch of awards. It's super awesome. Ricardo Lagunaro, super smart guy. And he was talking about like, because the game that they made is very Pixar-esque, you know, like the images are Pixar-esque, like little wooden characters and stuff like that. And, you know, he talks about how everyone has this expectation of things to look a certain way, you know, like with companies like Pixar cranking animated features out, stuff that like Toy Story 4, which I don't know if you've seen Toy Story 4.
I haven't seen 4 yet. I want to. That's the only one I haven't seen.
Visually stunning, bro. Like, nice. If you compare Toy Story 4 to Toy Story, the original, you are like, wow. Like, look at how far they've come.
Yeah.
And that is the standard. Like, that is what people are used to seeing when they are consuming content. So if it doesn't match something that they're used to seeing in a certain way, you know, or used to, like, playing God of War or Call of Duty, which all look great, you know, like, they'll turn their nose up at it. They're like, oh, this obviously isn't good.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're VR enthusiasts, so like, we're willing to look the other way when it comes to some of that stuff. We're like, oh, the graphics aren't great, but god damn, are these mechanics good.
Yeah.
You know, general population really does not feel that way. So it has to have that polish. It has to have that aesthetic. It has to capture that same quality vibe that some of the stuff that people are used to seeing does.
Mm-hmm. Yep, totally. Okay.
So it looks like we have a visitor on the spaceship. Somebody who we've been waiting on.
So we're gonna bring him into the call here real quick. And all right, let's get switched over to our guest, which is Sasha.
Sasha LeBaron, everyone. How you doing, brother?
I am awesome, bro. And all of you out there, if we're live, then woohoo. And if we're pre-recording, then woohoo.
We are pre-recording, but we're going to premiere it live. So we'll be in the chat watching and engaging with people. And of course, if you're available, please join us.
That'd be awesome.
And thank you for joining us here on the Between Reality Spaceship. An absolute pleasure to have you, good sir.
Yeah, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Yep, I kind of told the story a little bit about OC6, but not exactly, not retained to you. I mentioned that we had met at OC6, mm-hmm. But I'm not sure if you knew this, Harry, but I was cruising around at like one of the like after party, or not after parties, but it was like, I don't know, like happy hour or dinner or something like that. And I was cruising around with my microphone and selfie stick, just like looking at people and, you know, like double fisting with the microphone and a beer. And Sasha just like spots me from across the room, knows exactly why I'm there. And he's like, yo, you need content. let's go. I was like, all right, man, sounds good to me. Like, I didn't know who he was, what he was there to do, anything. He just knew why I was there. And he was like, let's go, bro. So we went out to the balcony and started chatting it up. And he introduced me to Somnium Space, which we kind of touched a little bit about, you know, what's going on there. But you're the guy, really, to tell everybody what's going on in Somnium Space, man.
Mm-hmm. Give us an overview.
I will. Yeah. A bit about me. I'm a firefighter, currently a firefighter. I'm an ex-submariner, been a mountain bike geek and computer geek for the last 20 something years. The funniest thing I saw about OC6 was that almost everybody who's building the metaverse is at least as old as me, which is kind of scary because we all read the same books, you know, Neuromancers, the snow crashes, and now we're building it. So yeah, Somnium is really special as far as I'm concerned, because and I'm the community manager there. So it is fantastic in itself because of some really unique things that I haven't seen in other platforms. Number one is you know, the founder looked at the current state of VR and said, why is no one doing single instance persistent VR, just like, you know, like mm-hmm. Second Life, like Ultima Online, mm-hmm. etc. And he's like, no one's doing that. Why isn't anyone doing that? And looked at it and was like, yeah, this is really hard to do with VR because, you know, 90 frames per second, mm-hmm. yada, yada, yada. And so he's like, but you know what? That's how it needs to be for it to be a real world, right? Like Snow Crash, like Ready Player One, like, you know, The Matrix, even any of these things are all one single world where everyone's in it together. And so that's what he set out to do. And he comes from investment banking and, you know, so he comes from that real financial nuts and bolts way. And so he's been bootstrapping. We've been bootstrapping, you know, we've had $1 million VC round, but overall 90% of our stuff is coming straight from users, and it's one single 8 kilometer by 8 kilometer instance, and everyone is there together. And that, to me, plus blockchain, is what makes it mm-hmm. so special.
Yeah, it really is. And yeah, I remember, you know, during our conversation at OC6, because as a gamer, I'm like, okay, yeah, but like, what games can I play? Like, can I throw stuff? Like, you know, what can I interact with? And you're telling me about you guys have like bowling nights and community nights and stuff like that. And one of the things that really stuck out to me is you talk about how if you're at the bowling alley and like you just let her rip and throw the bowling ball out the window, that motherfucker is gonna hit the road and roll down the road and will continue to roll for as long as like the physics would make it. You know, it's not gonna like just disappear after it travels a certain distance or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I mean, now obviously, of course, because it's VR and there's you know, we have to think about performance, then so if you then step out of the bowling alley, then all the bowling balls you were interacting with will reset to the bowling alley. But as you said, like, we literally had guys, avatars, chasing the bowling balls for a couple kilometers across the landscape, and buddies back there, one of our guys is a Beat Saber, our team member's a Beat Saber guy, and he can throw stuff like ridiculous. And so he'd be throwing these bowling balls out the door, down across the square, down the stairs, past the planetarium, over the hill, and then it would finally end up in this little bowl, you know, between two hills, and the thing would be like, and then it would eventually stop. And then, you know, you're like, what is this? So, yeah, so it's really neat. And it's special for people because people, you know, everyone's like, oh, we don't need to recreate real life in the VR world. We could do anything. Well, yeah, you can. But if you don't give somebody a place to stand when they're getting bombarded with a completely new set of physics, they're just going to go, eh, don't like it. But so what I think our company believes is that you need to give people a platform, a place to start, and then you can start expanding their imagination about what is actually mm-hmm. possible. You know, so like you know, all the games, all the social worlds, all the multiplayer with voice communication, to me, are part of the metaverse, part of what we're building as what mm-hmm. I call the metaverse. And one of the things that Somnium, I believe, is also pioneering and is very special for it is that we are, to some degree, platform agnostic, in that we are going to allow you and literally walk over to a teleporter, say, I want to go over to Altspace VR. Click, loading screen, boom, you're in Altspace. And if you know, and so I don't know any other platform that's so confident that it's willing to help users leave the platform.
Right.
Knowing
that is awesome.
You know, knowing that it's so freaking good what is being offered that they are going to come back.
So it's almost kind of like an like a home, like an Oculus Home or something like that, that is persistent and alive, and like you have your house there and all of that, and then you just go together off to.
And so you actually have to buy a plot of land, right? Just like you would in real life.
Dude, there was like a super expensive plot of land that sold, wasn't there?
Oh, dude, it's getting. You know, I mean, I don't want to say that there's, some kind of land rush or speculation frenzy or anything, but the whole back end of Somnium, and I think this was a really smart move on the founder's part and the team's part, is based on the Ethereum blockchain. So we're running through a company called OpenSea to do non-fungible tokens. And that is just crypto gobbledygook to me, but it means fundamentally that each object, each asset, each avatar, each thing that you script, if you're a scripting guy, if you're a coder and you know C# and you want to put out a skateboard and you want to have mad graphics on there and it's going to be super dope, that particular skateboard, you could make 10, put a price from the client right inside the game, because you have a VR client for being in the world, and you have a 2D client like SketchUp or Sims or something for doing the building. You could create that object, press a button, it gets sent up to OpenSea, turned into a token on the blockchain, registered to you, and ready for sale. Boom. So you're now monetizing something that you can actually turn around and bring back to the game, throw it on the ground, jump on it, and ride over to your buddy's house.
That's unreal, man. That's so cool. That's so cool. So not only can you buy things in this game, but you can sell things and you can actually monetize things and make money. So it's a full living, breathing ecosystem that uses cryptocurrency and blockchain, right? And from what I understand, you guys now have your own cryptocurrency from within the game, right? So you can take money from different countries, wherever you are, right? Put it into cryptocurrency, bring it into the game with you. And do what you will from there. Tell us a little bit about that. That's so incredible.
Yeah, so what I didn't understand about cryptocurrencies is anyone can make one. You and I could make one. Mm-hmm. Let's spin up a new currency. Boom. It's literally like a few lines of code and a few minutes if you know what you're doing. So what our company did is put together a whole economic roadmap. Notice we're not calling it a white paper, but it is an economic roadmap, and part of that roadmap is having in-game currency. And so what they did is they created an Ethereum-based coin called Cubes, because we're Somnium Space and our logo is a cube, so it's Cubes. Mm. And Cubes are being listed on an exchange, which I'll come back to in a minute. But you can also buy and sell, will be able to buy and sell, I believe, from the client. So then you'll be able to exchange your, go into your PayPal, link your crypto wallet, and also here, this is really cool. Sorry, I'm just digressing now,
go
but that your land and all your crypto assets that you bought from OpenSea that are on their ERC-721 token, so like CryptoKitties you may have heard of.
Yeah.
So I have a bunch of CryptoKitties. Literally, I will go onto the builder, click yes, add, you know, Sleepy Zynga, whatever, funny looking cat to my property. When I next go there in VR, there's a cat walking around who is a token, who is a crypto, you know, it's a crypto.
You are object. Shitting me.
No, dude.
3D. That is so cool.
It's a trip, you know? And so like this, so having our own currency opens up all these opportunities. We can rent land, we can buy and sell within the game. And, you know, we get some pushback from the whole like open source, everything must be free, yada, yada people. And I'm sorry, I'm going to say for the record right now, the reason that we have Google and Facebook and all these huge, you know, whoever did Candy Crush and all those guys, the reason we have these free things that we get to do for free is because we are the product.
Yep.
Right.
Because we're trading our own user data and privacy and likes and dislikes for access to this platform. Because the people who started back in Silicon Valley said, everything must be free. And it's like, sorry, you can't run an economy when everything is free, so you have to get the value somewhere else, so you sell it to advertisers. We don't do that. Now, we have an advertising platform, which is from AdMix, and they are offering the ability to import a 3D object. Like, I see a microphone from my perspective. I see a microphone in front of you guys. You could bring in a microphone, make that microphone a Sony microphone, put it in your online DJ radio station, because I hope you guys are going to be broadcasting from Somnium one of these days.
That'd be
great.
Right? And when your guests come in and grab that Sony microphone and hold it up and it's Sony as they talk, Sony is going cha-ching, paying you for using that Sony microphone. And that's, to me, how it should be. It shouldn't be about me as a person. It should be about me interacting with that product placement. So
I think that's a really good point that you made about, you know, being the product. And, you know, it's comforting to me that there are companies who are accomplishing things like you guys, making things happen, that are unwavering in that, because we really do need to be the change that we want to see in the world. And if you have issues with that kind of stuff, first of all, you have to be like become enlightened, right? Like, it doesn't appear that way. You know, when you're interacting with Facebook, for example, you're not thinking about the fact that you are becoming a product of that, you know, whole
you're a consumable.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So you're not really considering those things when you start off using these kinds of things. But as we become smarter and, like, you know, start to realize how these things work, when the new things are being created, it's in my opinion imperative that we keep these things in mind and make sure that we are building a foundation for something beautiful and not something that has the ability to turn on us and destroy us. You know what I mean?
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Just like, you know, if you, I'm going to refer to Ready Player One because it's, I think, the one thing that everybody knows that has a virtual land, you know, the Oasis, which is the metaverse. So this is kind of like the Oasis, right? It's another existence in a different place. And you know, you really, at that point, when everything is being recorded, everything that you do, it's something very serious to take, you know, to take with you. Because, you know, right now we're carrying around cell phones that have microphones and cameras, and you know, we can be spied on. But if a company like, oh, let's say Facebook were to come out with something like, let's say Horizons, right? Obviously, everything you do is going to be completely recorded, sold to the highest bidder. I mean, you are really going to be paying in the ultimate way. Mm-hmm. It might not be your money, but it's everything you do. Every head turn, every hand movement is recorded and sold to the highest bidder. So this is a little bit, to me, refreshing to know that. You know, I mean, I don't know what you guys are doing as far as the privacy side. Maybe we can get into that. But it's refreshing to see that you aren't using us as the consumable product.
And I think I do want to talk about privacy, actually. That's a great thing to touch on. But I do want to know, Sasha, what are your thoughts on Facebook Horizons?
I want legs, man. I'm sorry. I come with legs, and I want legs, and I get it. You're trying to appeal to the – you want to make it absolutely 90 frames or whatever, 90 frames per second on Quest. But, like, come on, guys, give me legs.
So
I'm going to go, and I'm going to check it out, and I know they're going to record me. And as you said before, and we'll go maybe down this rabbit hole a bit later, but when they get eye tracking, and you were at OC6 – he was right there on stage, Big Z, we're going for brain tracking. It's coming, bros, it's gonna be awesome. And we're gonna map the entire world. You know, I mean, like.
Yeah.
I mean, this, if this does not scare you, I will, if that doesn't scare you, dear listener, dear viewer, I will scare the crap out of you in about 20 minutes. So we'll come back. Like, literally, you will just go, holy crap, and throw your computer up.
Well, I mean, let's go there. Let's go there now. Let's get into it.
Come on. We got to save the teaser. We're talking.
Okay. All right. Okay. So I have a question for you. So, so I saw that you guys have, you've partnered with a company to have a store in your Somnium space. With an actual company, right? So it's an actual retail store, and this company is Pimax,
yep.
Right? So you can actually go in and interact with with, can you tell us a little bit about that and how this whole thing is going to work with storefronts and partnerships with companies in the future?
In my opinion, 3D assets and interacting with 3D objects is going to just totally transform retail. And you know, I'm a futurist. So in the future, this is my prediction, we'll come in 10 years and check it, or five, or maybe even two. All the cool kids are going to be wearing like plain blue, plain gray, plain white. But to anybody who's wearing, they're going to be lit up with sparks and spears and craziness.
Sweet.
And they will have bought all that stuff. And they will be buying it for their AR glasses. They'll be buying it for their VR setups. They'll be buying it for their own virtual worlds. And these things need to be housed somewhere. They need to be viewed and experienced somewhere. So where is that place? Right now it's VR, because that's what we have. And so, yeah, we have partnered with Pimax. We have, obviously these things are works in progress. We've just rolled out version 2.0 for legit rolled it out, full IK avatars. We have user builds popping up. We got over 200 user builds now live on the map. Some crazy stuff already happening. People are getting together. So this is the foundation of the new version of the client. In that client, sorry, my daughter is here.
Oh. It's all good.
No worries.
What's up, baby?
Family. Family is always there, and it's the most important thing.
It is.
So definitely. Yeah. Sure.
So we're basically rolling out this 2.0 client. And as part of that, we are opening the map to anybody who wants to pony up at the table. And right now you're only able to buy from other people who've already purchased, but we will be having a second land offering sometime later into the year, at which point we will do open auction for the remaining 3,500 pieces of property.
Wow, so, very cool.
So check this out. And we were talking about price a little bit earlier. You know, the free people are going to be all like, oh, this is disgusting and gross, and I don't want to talk about it. But seriously, we have plots of land that were purchased for one Ethereum, roughly, which at the time was around $200, selling now for 10. So those people, and there's nothing has changed. Like, they didn't do anything except that the game has grown, the exposure has grown, the idea is expanding in people's minds, and they're going, hey, wait a minute, there's only 5,000 plots, the whole world is persistent, we have tons of ways to monetize, people are going to come here, maybe not everybody, sure, every world appeals to a certain person, but I believe enough people are going to come that those plots of land are going to go up in value. Just like there's only 21 million Bitcoins.
So right? This is crazy. So this is literally real estate. This is real estate in virtual reality, because the space is limited, just like it is here on Earth, you know? And as areas become more popular, games become more popular, value of property goes up, and maybe you have a house right next to the Pimax store, whatever, you know, if that's a hot item.
Yeah, there's houses right next to the waterfront.
So what I want to know now is, what if I start a career as a VR real estate agent, right? And I invite people to come into Somnium, and I get a percentage of the sale of the home, and I like connect them with people, you know, like you could legitimately create a career of
VR.
Doing normal jobs like a real estate agent in virtual reality, and like everyone is happy and everyone loves it. It's not like a weird thing. We're not like forcing it. You know what I mean? Right. You're like literally helping people.
Right. So that's such a cool idea. And the idea of being able to go and work in virtual reality and Insomnium space. So for example, with the Pimax store, can you walk us through what the transaction might look like there as far as a customer coming in, viewing a product, and then ultimately purchasing it?
So in our current iteration, we have an agreement, a B2B kind of arrangement with Pimax, that if you buy a Pimax through the Somnium store, you get a discount. And I'm not sure what the discount is. You know, the store hasn't spun up yet in the new client. In the old client, you were exposed to a 3D headset. You could look at it. You could turn it. You could see you got the a review from VRTK, who's, you know him, awesome review of the Pimax product. So ideally, in a perfect world, where we're going is literally every model full. And here's where it gets super meta. If you know, if you played in VR chat, some guys have uploaded headsets. And when you put on the headset, you go into another world inside the first one. So it's like
Inception
each time
style.
You put on it. Exactly. Each time you put on a headset. So ideally, and I don't know if there's a way to do this in Unity because I'm not a Unity coder, but ideally, when you pop on that 8K or 16K or whatever widescreen Pimax in the game, it does some fancy footwork and just destroys your eyes. And you're like, what is this? Take it off. Holy crap. Whoa. And then, so you're like, okay, probably it'll be automated. I don't think there'll be a Pimax representative in the store at all times, but probably it will be. So for example, Arthur, our founder, bought his Tesla from Somnium. He was in Somnium. He went over because they had coded in a web terminal, coded in a model of a Tesla, you know, an S Model S sitting there. He went in, went on the website as an avatar, punched in all his information, hit the buy button.
Very cool.
Very cool. Very. And so, and here I'm also putting this out. If I can swing this, when they put a 3D asset of a Tesla truck into Somnium, I'm going to go buy one. I'm going to go press the button.
Will there be a time where we can test drive those things? Will there be virtual dealerships and you can get in a car and see what it looks like in the interior?
So now we're going into a very interesting place because we just finished in celebration of our we were in just at a huge crypto conference in New York. We sent a couple of guys over to do that. And part of that, in recognition of that and celebration of that, is we did a limited 5 item from a company called Crypto Motors. And they created this totally sick Tron-like out of this world 3D asset car, which will be a 3D asset in Somnium, which is also a token. There's only 5 of them that will ever be that look like this. They're numbered and you can drive them. And so here's the punchline. Again, all you people who want everything to be free, close your ears. The one highest one sold for 16 Ethereum.
What is that, 800?
That's like $2,500.
Wow.
Right?
Wow, man.
$2,500. And why did that guy buy the car? Maybe he's a super duper VR nerd and just wants the awesome number 5 or number 1 car. But more likely, he sees it's where this is all going. Yeah. He knows that, bam, in a few years, there's going to be all kinds of cool cars in Somnium and all in other VR worlds. Like they're putting airplanes in Horizon and then you can fly spaceships in here and there. I mean, call me crazy. I bought a spaceship for Star Citizen. I paid $200 for it, or $200 Canadian
wow.
for it. And it's freaking dope.
I would certainly hope so.
And we're going a little off topic here, but Star Citizen is not supposed to be VR, but you can hack it to make it VR. And I went up to my spaceship and I was just like, oh,
my baby.
And you sit in the cockpit and those guys, they're using the Amazon Lumberyard. And it is like freaking
almost as cool as the spaceship you're in right now.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, so yeah, so that's where we're going with products. Most likely it'll be a portal to the web, but with 3D assets, with awesome explainer videos, and you can do it socially. So we all three can join up in VR, go to the Pimax store and be like, dude, yeah, do it. Come on, this is awesome. I have one at home. Rah, rah, rah. And boom, you can click
the
buy button.
It's so interesting how I think that guy who bought that car is honest, he's probably onto something, man, because this definitely seems like a forward-thinking way to go about making this kind of stuff happen. Mm-hmm. And for me, like, if I'm dropping money on digital assets, right, like stuff that doesn't exist in the real world that's primarily aesthetic in nature, the only thing that's ever got me to really break my wallet out is that intense exclusivity. It's like, dude, yep, there's only 5 of these. Or, dude, it's only available now early. And 5 years from now, when people are insomnium just walking up and down the streets, you're cruising down the street in this fucking crazy awesome avatar. Everyone's like, what? Like, I've never seen that before. And you're like, yeah, you don't get it. Nope. No one's getting it. I'm the only one that has this. And you can almost like be the guy who has that, you know? And like that thing is like the drive to get people to really invest some money. Yeah. I mean, there's been games that I've spent an embarrassing amount of money on for simply aesthetic stuff, skins for characters and shit, you know? So there really is a market for this. Yeah. And, you know, the fact that, like I said, you guys are kind of really putting it in the hands of the community members, I think is awesome.
Yeah.
And I want to speak to that just briefly, because everything is blockchain. So if you buy, you know, a fancy whatever in Second Life, and I love Second Life, nothing against them. They're the most successful online world to date. You buy something in there, it's Linden Labs. You bought something from them, it's theirs. You bought it, but it's still theirs. Mm-hmm. Now, us, you buy that token is yours. It's registered to your wallet on the blockchain. Everyone agrees. Even if Somnium folds up and disappears, that asset is still yours.
Right.
I can still sell it, res it up, and use it in a different game.
That's so huge.
And here's where... And here it is huge. And here's where we're going. We are a founding member of the Virtual Reality Blockchain Alliance. It was originally ourselves, High Fidelity, and Janus VR. Now, those two have folded, unfortunately, or at least, you know, they're in heavy restructuring to the point where they're essentially not going right now. However, I believe that this is incredibly forward thinking on all these founders' part, Philip Rosedale and Arthur and the other gentleman from.
Oh, we lost your audio.
Yeah.
Not sure where your audio went. Maybe a cable got kicked out or something.
Unplug, replug.
Yeah, oh, now?
There you go. Okay. We're back.
I have a stupid little mute button and I rolled onto it with my butt. I butt dialed myself. So
butt mute.
So these guys.
So we have blockchain assets being generated by users that are super exclusive, that are interchangeable between different virtual worlds. Somnium is the, do you know the term agora, the hub, the market? Yep. This, we're, our job, what we want, the guys who were on the middle of the Silk Road were freaking making bank, right? Yeah. All these other dudes are risking their life running back and forth with camels and gold and spices and bandits. Guys in the middle are like, hey, yeah, sure, stay the night, hang out, sell some silk, it's all good, you know. And so that's where I think we really want to place ourselves, is right in the middle of a whole web of a virtual blockchain commerce, mm-hmm, transactions. And ultimately, you buy a thing, it's exclusive, it's yours, it can potentially gain in value, and if you can use it in VR chat, in Altspace VR, in you know, Tivoli cloud or whatever, that asset is only worth more to you.
Dude, and there's more incentive to spend money on something that retains value and that you can like take somewhere else. Because all of that money that I've spent in those games and apps on aesthetics, like, they are, what can I do with that? Like, nothing. Unless I'm playing that game, mm-hmm, I cannot benefit from that whatsoever. And if that company goes under, then it's just gone forever. Like, they just have kept my money and that's all there is to it. Mm-hmm. But with stuff like this, you know, I could make a virtual asset and own it. And even if, you know, God forbid, Somnium Space was to fold, I would actually still retain the value of those items that were created and exchanged in the game, mm-hmm, which is just like, there's like, it's almost like,
it's like
you're
it.
Not
it's
really not like losing it. Anything. Where it's like before, I'm spending money and I'm losing it. Sure, maybe the value could go down, but like it still has value.
Sure.
So I think that is just like, it's so much easier to be comfortable with the idea of spending money on virtual assets when you understand that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I have a question for you that I've been dying to ask you this whole time. So do you, and I know this is probably way off in the future, right? But so me and Alex were recently, a month or two back, we went to CES and we did a lot of things with haptic suits. The Tesla suit, the haptics, things like that. I'm very curious, do you have anything in the roadmap to implement haptics into this? Because I feel like if you were to go to a virtual world where you get virtual things and you're in a haptic suit, oh my God, that's the full dream right there. You know what I mean? Like, is there any plans in the future for Tesla suit support or B haptic support? anything like that?
The reason I'm laughing is because it's already implemented.
Oh, really? So what?
Okay, Tesla suit, if you're listening, please. I'm a size XL, 6'2". So anyone, I'll try it for you. But yeah, no, it's fully app. The founder is a VR nerd, double like us. He's totally on it. We're building the metaverse. It has to be Ready Player One. It has to be, Snow Crash level of realism. I already disappear into VR for hours at a time. But when you throw, so here's an example. I'm on the fire service. I have a pager that tells me when there's a bad thing happening. Not for me, it's a bad, but it's bad for somebody else, then I'm going to go and help them. So I'm in a VR experience that had wicked 3D sound. And I freaking hear a siren going by. And I rip off the headset and I grab my pager because I'm like, wait a minute.
I didn't hear anything.
How come no one told me there's something going on? And then I realize, oh, right, it was actually in
that's
the world.
So funny.
Right? So that's where we're going. That's where we're going. And, you know, like when Rabbit Hole comes and Neural Lace and everything else. But yeah, so we're already supporting all that stuff. We support all the headsets, all the grip, you know, Index, Vive.
So can I go into Somnium Space tonight with my B-Haptics vest? And
That's a really good question. I encourage you to try and see what happens.
Okay, cool.
Currently, I have no idea where the we have a huge to-do list, as you can imagine. And this is what people are like. We get some negative comments on Steam. Oh, it was choppy, or it was laggy, or there was no one around, and it was boring. It's like, have you ever tried building a game?
Right.
Rather than just playing games for free and complaining about them? Because we are seriously like, it every time, every few days or a month or whatever, it just hits me like a ton of bricks. We're building a whole freaking world. Economy, government, transport. Because here's the thing, one of the genius things about Somnium, you can't get around quickly. There's none of this, because it's all one world. Like in VR chat, you're like, oh, where are my friends? Oh, they're in this world. Bing, bing, bing. Mm-hmm. I'm there. Done. This world, where are my friends? Oh, crap. They're over at Alex's place. That's like 8 kilometers on the other side of the map. It literally takes you 15 minutes to walk there.
I love that.
That's amazing.
I love that.
And I do too. And it pisses me off. So what am I going to do? As soon as the Unity SDK drops, which is coming, as you know, it's right high on the list. Then bam, now scripting works. Now bam, I can script up a motorbike or a bicycle. That's also an NFT, you know, a non-fungible token on the blockchain. Oh, this particular one happens to be a mad freaking Harley chopper, which I'm never buying in real life, but want so bad. So now I'm over to your place, park my ride, and everyone's like, dude, where can I get one? But you can't. There's only one. You want to buy this one? 20. Yeah.
That's so good.
Right? So there's like a huge, there's work, there's jobs. The future is working in VR because come on, Alex, you and I have met. Nothing personal, but I don't need to meet you again for quite a long time now. We've already shared that space and gone, yeah, dude, this guy's stand up. I love him. Awesome. We can do this. So now we meet in social VR. That serves 99% of what meeting in real life does. Minus the smell. Right? So,
I think there will always be a place for face to face interaction. There's a lot of energy that it gets exchanged in the human body. You know, that's very intangible. That goes beyond sensory perception, in my opinion. But you don't think so. You think that translates?
Oh, no. Here's the thing: the three of us, because here you want to get metaphysical. We'll do a little sidetrack into metaphysics. Am I this? Are you that? No, you're not. You're something inside. Mm-hmm. Who knows what it is? Soul, a mana, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah, chi, whatever. I've been outside this body full legit 100% and I was there. I was not in my body. I was over there. I was looking at my body going, holy crap, that's my body. But I'm over here. What the hell? So that energy does not care about time and space. The three of us are in the same space right now. We're sharing energy. I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it. So the fact is, when you get VR up to the next, even a few degrees more, give me like 160, 180, like a little bit bigger, give me a bit of haptics, boom.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. So you think that, like, there's some times where, like, you can walk into a room and you can just feel the tension, right? Like, you think that that just, like, will translate just as easily, you know?
Dude, here, try this out for size. Do you have a girlfriend? Are you married?
I'm getting married this year, actually. I have a fiance.
Okay, so try this out. Don't tell your fiance.
Don't watch this, honey.
Don't watch this. Or tell her later, whatever. Don't grab a couple drinks. Head into VR chat on a Friday night, go to a dance club, and start throwing some moves. And it is unbelievable. The whole thing is exactly the same as in real life. You've got this hot avatar. You don't know if it's a truck driver from Wisconsin, but this hot anime avatar, and you're working the moves, and she is, you know, and you get some. Now think when we get eye contact, dude, it'll be like, you'll just, and look at Second Life avatars. I've been hanging out with this guy from Victoria. He's been in Second Life for 17 years. For any of you listeners, I'm on the west coast of British Columbia, Canada, woohoo. And chilling with this guy, and he is showing me avatars that are absolutely freaking mind-blowing. The detail that those guys are getting, it's like literally you're like, I'm going to start stalking this avatar right now.
There's a lot going on with avatars, right? I mean, Facebook is putting a lot of money into custom avatars and tracking your face muscles and your eyes and everything. So,
and we, Somnium, are totally on board. So our current, you know, I don't know what the standard is for VR chat right now. I think it's like 35,000 polys or whatever. We're doubling it, 65,000. Come on, bring your avatars here. And they're all NFTs, so you can sell them, buy them. That's already baked in that you can, because a lot of guys are making money, guys and girls are making money selling avatars. And then, check it out. You bring an avatar, boom, in the T pose, do-do-do, click, not yet implemented, but on the roadmap, click, cloud, back, bones, animation, clothing works, everything works. My avatar, name, into the game, boom, done. Because I don't know if you've played with Unity. See this? I have no hair now. I played with Unity for a week. And I was like, oh my God. And I'm following tutorials and I'm like, do this and do that. And I go put it into VR chat and it's like 40 feet tall. And, you know, I'm looking out of the chest and it was like, God, I can't do this.
Well, you know, so, I mean, I'm like still stuck on this whole, on like the way that we're able to connect in VR. And, you know, like I find it so interesting how you talk about how you're kind of able to have an intimate experience with someone who, like, you would never dream of being romantic with, you know? So it starts to, like, draw lines between things that were, like, normally completely connected, like an intimate moment with someone and a romantic moment with someone. Like, before, those things were, like, connected, but now you can feel something with a virtual avatar being controlled by someone who, if they start speaking, like, that might, you know, like, it's weird, you know, if it's like a dude all of a sudden, like, but you're not romantically connected to that if you're not homosexual. And, you know, then it's like, it starts to, like, kind of pull apart some of those things, you know? And
blurs the lines.
It blurs the lines big time. Yeah. And it forces us to, like, go back to the drawing board when it comes to how we define this stuff. It's like, okay, sure. So what is an intimate experience then? And, like, how do you define connection with someone, you know? And what are the minimum requirements for that?
Sure. And people are already starting to understand that just because you were here, and you were put into a guy's body, you know, doesn't mean anything, you know, all the LGBTQ stuff going on and, you know, and the compassion that's starting to arise from this, because really, when you look at this stuff, it doesn't matter who we are and what we are. We're making connections with other people, mm-hmm. with other forms. And, you know, if you look at an episode of Black Mirror, like that Striking Vipers, I think it was, right, mm-hmm. where the two guys go in and one's actually a girl in the episode, you know, in the VR game, and the other one's, you know, a dude, but they hook up, right, in the show. And it asks those questions. It asks those questions. What is intimacy? What does it mean to really, love someone or right. get close to someone? So I think we're going to see a whole new version of that in these virtual worlds like Somnium Space. And
have,
like,
you seen any of that stuff happen? Like, you seeing people make connections and stuff?
Absolutely. And I'll just do a couple of quick...
All right, read it out loud to the class.
All right, what does it say? Jan called. Give her a call. It's my mother. My mother has called. And I've got it. See, look. Analog. It's alive and well. So two little things. I play my go-to VR experience when I'm not Insomnium is Echo Arena, which is Vive native, amazing hand-eye K, like just freaking your hands. You're like, you know the whole thing. Never look at your hands, dude. And I'm like, look at my hands, man. and it engaged me on so. And so I'm playing this really intense game. It was super fun, and. Where it's like last goal and it was like a buzzer shot and boom, and I'm just by the goal and the other avatar had scored the goal on me. The avatar floats up and it's like, you know, Nikki 7 or whatever. And she kisses me on the cheek. And I was just like,
blushing.
No, I'm just like, I felt it. Right? It is a woman driving this thing. It's a female person driving this avatar. I'm cis, straight, blah, blah, blah. Right. So girls coming into my zone and like putting themselves on me gets me riled up. And then on the other end of the spectrum, my buddy Chris Miranda is in VR chat a lot. And he's literally met people who were literally like pretty much sitting on the edge of the bridge. They're in VR, but they're on the edge of the bridge. They're looking down and they're going, nobody cares, sucks, whatever, you know? And he's like, hey dude, you look pretty, pretty bummed. You need a hug? And the guy just like freaking collapses and they chat for an hour. And he doesn't know, did he help him? Did he not help him? But again, I'm getting the, you know, like, look at my hair. Right. It's all standing up because there is a real connection happening there. And your brain, try this. In a good social VR, go up and hug somebody. Like just, you know, put your arms around their avatar, put your arm, you know, and it rings all those dopamine receptors in your brain. And your soul, whatever you want to call it, don't care about time and space. Right. So you're actually hugging. Literally, here, check this out. You feel sick, you can go online, go to these websites, you are ordering, you're like buying for a couple hundred bucks US, you buy the time of a bunch of dudes who are meditating in India, and they will sit under their tree doing the and they will send all their energy to you. And they have a picture of you.
Is this a legit thing? Like, bam,
this is 100% legit. And I have friends who have tried it. And say, when it switches on, it's like, you want to think espresso's bad? Like, it's just like,
wow.
They're just like, what?
That's amazing.
Oh, I see. Okay. Right.
That's cool. So awesome.
So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm a bit metaphysical. I'm a bit out there. I read all the books. All this stuff is totally legit to me. We don't understand it. Science can't predict it. But if you look at the end, you go out to the edges of any science, any quantum mechanics or freaking, I mean, the stuff Kent Bye talks about in his shows, it's just like, it's all the same. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like we're either making all this up as we go, or the universe itself is like making it up and we're just in it, but we have some limited, you know, agency in our local zone, but in a bigger, I mean, it gets twisted fast. Yeah. But the bottom line is science doesn't understand what's going on yet. And it's just going to get better.
I mean, honestly, science may never be able to, you know, like there's a line that I love in an episode of Rick and Morty. Are you a fan of the show? There's an episode where they like, because of their indecisiveness, they split time into like a bunch of different chunks. And there's this third dimensional or whatever dimensional, ninth dimensional being who shows up, who exists outside of space and time. And he's like looking at what they're doing. He's like, what the hell did you do? Like, you ripped this up, man. Like, you know, and he's like, what did you do? And he's like looking at what he did. He's like, dude, how the hell do you expect to fix time when you're standing in it, you dummy? And like that really landed with me because it's like, you know, we're trying to understand everything like from inside the bubble, you know, but like it's totally. We're like, we're never going to get. I mean, I don't know if science will get us to that outside perspective. It might be a combination of science being
meditation
in like,
can bring you.
Yeah, the spirituality and technology and science coming together that helps us kind of like, you know, like blossom or whatever, you know, but
maybe
I really,
it'll be VR and brain interfacing.
Dude, I really think that that there is a place for spirituality in all of this. You know, just like you were saying, like those meditation dudes, like they are throwing some real, actual, immeasurable energy. Mm-hmm. And it is no joke. And if you've ever been down the rabbit hole on, you know, hallucinogenics or whatever, you understand that there is shit going on that we do not fully understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Totally. And I mean, to me, VR is awesome for just that. That's one of the reasons VR is so awesome. You know, there's a little app on, it's probably on all those platforms called Blortasia, and you literally throw the headset on, and it's just this thing, this freaking crazy three-dimensional thing that's morphing and changing. And literally, they've given this thing to people in hospital, and they watch their brain scans, and their brain's just like, and it chills the hell out, and the pain receptors go down, and endorphins go up, because they're getting this thing that's super novel, and it can't exist in reality, and it's essentially like a really good acid trip. And as soon as you take the headset off, it's over. Wow. As soon as you put it on, it's back. Boom, boom, boom. It's so fast. There's no like, there's no gnarly like, oh, my stomach, I don't feel well for 3 days. So to me, you guys are totally on the right track. I'm running a little low on time, so I'm just gonna touch quickly. I'm just going to hammer through a few points.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Yeah. So we're coming. We have, there's a guy who just launched a newspaper. So if anyone wants to write VR stuff about Somnium or about VR and have it published in VR, Somnium Times is now live. We've got a huge Discord community. It's growing really fast. It's super fun and positive. Hopefully that'll be in the show notes. The roadmap. We're going to do a live radio station. It'll be broadcasting 24/7. It's going to go to your phone as well as in world, so you can interact. There's going to be a phone version of the client, so I can manage my property, look at rental, who's doing what, where are people. I can message you and be like, oh, where's Alex? Oh, he's at his place. Hey, Alex, what, you know, how long are you going to be there? Can I jump in an hour? So that'll all be part of it.
Radio DJs, like people filling time slots and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Totally, but they will only be live. They will only be able to do it from VR. So there will literally be a red light on and a room, and you'll be able to see a guy in there doing things and moving, you know, stuff that's around, cool. And you'll be like, yeah, that's the guy. So we have a really cool thing. It's called Live Forever Mode, which is. And it gets a little Black Mirror if you take it the wrong way. But
I wanted to ask you about this. I'm glad you're going into it.
Yeah, on the privacy side, our goal is we don't care about your demographics other than for one single reason. And this is handled also through blockchain, which is, excuse me, there's a thing called KYC, which is Know Your Customer, and that we need to ascertain your actual details of you as a person so that we can know that you're not laundering a whole bunch of drug money. So once you've got that dialed, hey, now we know exactly how old you are. Great. Now, automatically, your avatar is able to cross certain boundary lines because, in my opinion, and again, there are going to be certain people, mostly, I'm sorry, but mostly from the US, who are going to have a problem here. Any fully developed VR world is going to have all levels of content from kids to adult. Okay? It's going to have all levels. And our guys, our team, our company, we're based in Prague. The Europeans are miles ahead of us in terms of this, in my opinion. And so there are going to be things that are going to be on the adult side of the line. That's private. It's locked down. There's nothing showing on the outside. But if you're by your avatar and your user and your ID, if you're known to be able to access that content, boom, you can cross that line when you want to, just like in real life. So that's how we care about that. And then so Live Forever is going to be on your own property that you own, that is a blockchain asset. We, the company, once you subscribe, and this is something you have to pay for, it doesn't happen automatically, record your avatar, record your speech, record what you're doing, shove it all into a big server, let the AI chew on it, and then spit you back out as yourself.
Wow.
So now you can inhabit your own property using your own self as the base, and it's always learning. As long as you're subscribed, it's always learning from you whenever you show up. So literally, you can go in there and have a big epic argument with yourself. So talk about doing like a pro and con thing. You can be like, dude, no. And then your avatar is like, no, well, what you haven't. And you're literally, and here's where it gets a little, like some people are gonna object, but in 10 years, it's gonna be totally legit. My kids, when I'm dead, can come into Somnium and hang out with me. Right? Ooh. And if I'm smart, because I hope to think that in some small way I am, I'm going to be doing little saying stuff that I've never said in real life, telling little stories that I've never said in real life, so that the AI has this little package, this little Easter egg of information about their dad, who that they can then come and interact with.
And they can learn something and they like can learn get something new information
and have a little experience that they never had. You know, here, my there goes my hair again.
So I know you don't have long, but I assume you've seen Black Mirror. And yep. Or wait, was this Black Mirror? There was some show. It might have been Black Mirror. It might have been that Amazon one. But there was an episode of one of those shows where she was able to take the personality of like her dead boyfriend and put it into a robot.
That was Black Mirror.
Was it Black Mirror? Yep. And you can see by the end. I mean, they typically take an ominous perspective with a lot of the technology, mainly for entertainment's sake. But you know, for them, they were like, "Oh, look, she can't connect with it. Like, and it gets her close, but it's like almost like a teaser, right? Because like the guy's like, well, no, do you want me to do that or not?' And she's like, 'I just want you to want. Like, you don't. You're not human. You know what I mean?' And it like drives her to this point where she's like going crazy about it. You know, and that's where my fear would come in, is that like we try to emulate what's human and we get so close that it actually fucks people up. Yeah. Like that, like it could possibly have a negative impact, you know?
Sure.
So absolutely 100%. And here's like, we've already had VR deaths because of people doing stupid stuff in virtual reality. Mm-hmm. There was a gentleman from the Orient who literally went through a window on a 75th floor building, and that was the end of that. So it can happen and it will happen. Any technology has its aspects, its sharp, pointy bits that can hurt you.
Yeah.
And we're now seeing the studies are at least preliminary studies are now showing that learning things, and which is one of the number one reasons for VR for training, is actually better under certain conditions, better, more effective than learning it in real life.
Yeah. Now I agree with that.
Now you're getting people stuff like Resident Evil. And you're hearing stories about people who literally can't go into their bathroom with the lights off for months. And we think that's funny, but really what that is PTSD.
Seriously? Yeah. I don't want to laugh at, but that's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And here's the other thing that's not being talked about, because we're all like peace, love, and light, and joy, and build the metaverse. The bad guys are in here too. Yep. And they've got you freaking strapped down on a freaking waterboard in VR, and VR torture is a thing. So we can't ignore that this thing has multiple facets and multiple sides. Yeah. We can only do our best to say, hey, how could this, you know, and this is why any dev team needs an ethics person as well.
Yeah.
To be at least advising them to say, hey, how could your thing be used for evil? Look, there's an ambient light sensor on this phone. It was clearly shown that the ambient light sensor can see where my finger is and know what buttons I'm pressing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Boom. Mm-hmm. At minimum, there's my password. At maximum, there's total knowledge of what my finger does on my phone being transmitted by the phone. So, So we've got, that's just like a super small little segment. We could go hours on this stuff.
Yeah.
But for Somnium, we've got tents that were limited edition tents, which give you a little tiny parcel of land, which you can pop up anywhere without actually buying land. You get use of it, so it becomes a sandbox. So I own one of these tents, and I can literally throw that tent down right on a prime bit of real estate at a point and the land and watch the sun go down and put out my barbecue and have my friends over, put up a stereo and have a little party. So that's a cool thing. We have, camping is a thing. We have kayaks that came out as NFTs and are also coming later. So you'll be able to rent a kayak and go paddling around. There's all kinds of stuff. There's people. You'll see builds popping up. Whenever you go in the world, you'll see things actually building in real time. Like you'll look and you'll turn away and there'll be something's like, something will be loading in there. Cool. And it's epic. And climbing the mountains, there's going to be full like rock climbing as you saw before on the backs of buildings and up on mountains. You'll be able to buy extension of height above your property and extension of height below. So there's going to be a whole subterranean part of Somnium that no one will see unless you're invited. There's going to be building underwater. There's going to be a survival mode, which will be basically like any survival game. You know, have to get wood and water and eat and sleep and all that business. hunt and fish. There's wildlife. Some of it will be interactable. Live events are coming. We've already had a few live events and more coming. We have, big name VR speakers coming and going to be some concerts. I've got some DJs lined up to do concerts. So the world that you inhabit in your daily life, we're going to do a mirror of it as much as we can in Somnium, and it's going to be keep on adding. We're going to have trains, and then the final story, the final thing of the build and the platform, and this is where people are, oh, it's a scam, it's just a, yeah, blah, blah, blah. This map is locked. There's 5,000 parcels, it's 8 by 8 kilometers, it has mountains, lakes, rivers, da-da-da, done, it's over. It will improve with time. At some point, when pressure becomes high enough, we will launch a second one. But it won't be this one, it'll be a second one. And it will most of the thinking at this point is it potentially might be on a planet. And you will literally go to the spaceport.
Ah, that sounds fun.
Put down a specific and actual amount of money in payable Insomnium cubes, get on the spaceship, have a complete spaceship experience for 20 minutes or 15 minutes, and arrive at the spaceport on the planet. Where there's a whole other society building buildings and having experiences.
Great idea. So, do that.
Yeah, done.
Very cool. This is just too cool, man. This stuff is absolutely amazing and mind blowing. We have been going for a while. I know you got to go, so we will let you go. But oh my God, man, this has been so cool.
A great conversation, dude. Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining.
We could literally sit here and talk to you for hours and hours and hours about this. So this is absolutely incredible.
And I mean, we thank you, and we have a privilege and an obligation to the future. We are building it right now, folks. Anybody watching this, whether you're a gamer, a dev, an investor, a community person, whatever, we're building the metaverse, and we have an obligation to look in the dark places and say, hey, that's not cool. The fact that certain company, his stated goal is to have contactless, that means no invasiveness, put it on your head. Now they know what you're looking at. They know your brain waves. You can talk to the computer. So check, this is where I was going to scare you, and I'll do it now. Okay. They freaking throw the scanner onto the brain, and the computer voice reads out what you are thinking. Word for freaking word. How? Because of AI and deep brain scanning.
Oh, man. You've got to have now, thoughts that exist outside of language, right?
But when you put it into language, so currently at the current state, and it's primitive, but at the current state, when I think Alex is it says rockin' dude, right? Now check this out. AI, so the one AlphaGo. So AlphaGo beat the top Go player in the world, which was supposed to be totally impossible.
Right?
He beat that player 4 games out of 5. They spun up a new iteration of AlphaGo, who beat AlphaGo 100 games out of 100 games. And came up with strategies that no one had ever seen or heard of before. And grandmasters were like, holy crap. That's an epic strategy.
Wow.
That totally works. So we've got AI at that level with these antagonistic networks where they're learning from each other and playing billions of games in seconds. Then you have this technology that can read your brain and currently literally read the thoughts. And then you have these crypto or klepto capitalist types. I don't even have to say the names because we all know them, who's made us the product. And they want to put these things on our heads and put cameras looking at everything and map all of our situation. Now, the last and most terrifying, before we go to the peace and the love, is how long does it take your eyes, ears, nose, mouth, etc., to create a world for you in your analog body? Do you know the number?
No, it's not long.
It's around 50 milliseconds. To create this world, we're 50 milliseconds behind all the time, but our brain has all these tricks, so we don't feel like we're behind. Mm-hmm. It feels like that happened in real time, but it didn't. It happened half a second ago.
Right.
The AI has no such limitation. So now as soon as we're in an artificially generated world with artificial intelligence that is higher than us, that is created by corporations who don't have our best interests in mind and know every inch of us psychographically, every detail, zero. You have zero free will. Done. It's over. You don't. It is completely, like, you want to talk Black Mirror? It's like 10x Black Mirror. So that's the dark side. The light side is that we know about these things. We know that this is a potential and that there are companies like ourselves and Tivoli Cloud and all sorts of other cool people and small devs and web VRs coming online. And the network effect, I think, is ultimately going to destroy the walled gardens, because come on, web will always, the connections will always rule over walled garden. They're going to be maybe a higher fidelity, but the web connected version is going to be cooler. So we have an opportunity, everyone, to make it not like that. There will always be parts that will be like that, but we don't all have to be there. Right. That's all I can say.
Right. Yeah. You can't escape duality. So yeah. Sasha LeBaron from Somnium Space, thank you so much for joining us, dude. And I really hope that you'll join us again in season two. I feel like this conversation needs to keep going.
It does, man. This has been a great conversation. Thank you so much for coming. Really, really appreciate it.
Thank you. Good luck with your project. I look forward to catching it. Please dump some links into the Discord and put up all of our social stuff. We're on Twitter, Instagram, Telegram, Reddit, Discord.
Sure. We'll put it all up in the description.
Yep. And I'll have a PC this week, so I'll join you in Somnium Space by next weekend.
Fantastic. Let me know if you need any help getting in.
Certainly will, dude. Thanks again. Enjoy your day.
Thanks awesome. So much, Emmy. See you later.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
That was so awesome.
That was amazing. Great conversation. And things for people to really think about, because there's real life consequences to a lot of these things. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, absolutely phenomenal.
All right, so giveaway.
We have another. Oh, that's right. The last week's giveaway should be over.
So we should have winners then to announce.
We should have winners, and I've never done this before, so hopefully we can pull those up pretty quickly. So
while you're pulling them up, I guess we have a new giveaway this week, and every week there'll be a new giveaway. Is there anything new in this one? Pistol Whip, did we get that in there?
Pistol Whip is in the new giveaway.
Yeah.
What else is in there? Pistol Whip, Free Diver for the Quest is in there.
Yep, that new game, Triton. Yep. Free Diver.
Yep.
That and we're gonna, is in the giveaway
and
now.
And maybe we'll put some physical items in there as well. So I can't pull the giveaway winner because it doesn't actually end until tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Because we're recording this earlier. Right.
Okay, right? We'll put it in the chat, or we'll add it as comments or whatever. But yeah, this week's giveaway should be live by the time you are viewing this.
Yep.
So do not waste any time and get in there and get your entries in so you can choose whatever game you are missing in your library. And then I guess
unless you don't like free stuff, then no one.
and so we still are going to put the giveaway together so we can maybe put those physical things in there, can we?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
Absolutely.
So we're gonna add within the giveaway the Asterion silicone touch controller covers, which we are huge advocates of. Yes. I think we have like three or four pairs to give away. So if you win the giveaway, you are welcome to choose the controller covers instead of a game, which I frankly would recommend doing if you do win the giveaway, because they are awesome. Yeah. And they're not cheap. They're like $20 or $25. I think they're like $20.
Yeah. Totally worth it too. You know, especially if you play a lot of Beat Saber and things like that, where you don't want the controller slipping out of your hand, they're not going anywhere. So they're really good. And the battery covers don't slip off anymore and things like that. So it's definitely good stuff. And I'm really looking forward to giving away some more games. And, you know, as this goes on, there'll be more and more games in there and more things. And there'll be headset stands and this and that. And so there's going to be a ton of things to give away. So we're really looking forward to it.
All right. Well, this has been the leap year episode of Between Realities, episode 3.
Yes.
Yep, and Sasha LeBaron was our guest from Somnium Space. Yep. Thank you guys for joining us for this episode. You know, we're having a real blast putting this together. And, you know, the more of you that are here engaging and being a part of it, the more and more fulfilling this experience is. So thank you so much. We will see you in a week for episode 4 with Eric for President.
Yeah, it's going to be good stuff.
Until next time, everyone.
See you guys later.
Take care.